Welcome to episode 4 of Everyday Wellness, Reboot Your Hormones Naturally with Dr. Tassone. I'm Dr. Kelly Donahue, clinical health psychologist, here with my co-host, Cynthia Thurlow, nurse practitioner and functional nutritionist. Let's get started. Welcome to Everyday Wellness. Wellness is the result of the decisions that you make every day. It's your mindset and the thoughts you believe. Wellness is the food you put in your body and the relationship you have with yourself and others. Wellness is your work and meaning. Join us on Everyday Wellness as we explore ways that you can choose wellness today.
Good morning. We are super excited to have Dr. Tassone, who is board certified in OBGYN and American Board of Integrative Medicine certified. He holds a medical degree in addition to a PhD in mind-body medicine. And in his 20 years of clinical practice, he's seen over 40,000 women as a highly regarded patient advocate. And I guess a lot of what I identified with when I first started interacting with you online was that you really are someone that thinks beyond just kind of that traditional Western medicine mindset, which I thought was really fantastic. And also that belief in ensuring that women are actively involved in their own care. I know you've done some work on publications on spirituality and medical care, whole foods to heal the body and integrative medicine. And you've also been featured in the New York Times, NBC News Online, and Stanford MedX. So welcome, 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 Sean. And I know that we got you out of bed a little bit early. So thank you so much for carving out a little bit of time to be featured today on our podcast.
Oh, thank you. Actually, you didn't even get me out of bed. I'm still in bed. So it all works out.
Well, that's wonderful. Tell me a little bit more. I know that you're in Texas, and I believe Austin specifically, but tell me a little bit about how you kind of transitioned from this traditional Western medicine mindset into kind of a more functional integrative medicine, because that for me has been the way my practice has evolved as well. And so I really love hearing, you know, the journey. Was it a patient that you had? Was it something a loved one had experienced that really started to change your mindset about how you cared for the women in your life?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, change like that, transformation, most likely comes from some story, and mine would be no different. When I was a resident and going through that kind of grinder of becoming a medical doctor, my mom was diagnosed with ovarian cancer, and as an OBGYN resident, I knew that was kind of hit close to home. She went through the whole surgery and chemotherapy process, and during that whole process of the 5 years with diagnosis to she eventually passed away, I couldn't really help her. I couldn't help her with her hormones. I couldn't help her with the lack of hormones. I couldn't help her with any of the things that she had, and I felt kind of helpless. And so when she passed away 5 years later at the age of 56, I kind of went on my own little spiritual journey, and part of that journey was the PhD that I got. The PhD brought me around the country and around the world. I went to Peru, Brazil, Guatemala, Mexico, Canada, Italy, and trained with indigenous healers in those countries, and basically did my PhD with a couple of healers, one named Larry Dossey, who's written a lot of books on non-local healing, and basically kind of just sort of developed my own feelings that we are more than just this body. But it's funny because I'm also a national instructor for the Da Vinci robotic surgical device. So I still do a lot of surgery, but I also have this other aspect to me that is much more deep than just, you know, the surgical aspect. So it was from the tragedy of my, and I'm an only child, so when my mom passed, it was just me. And so it was kind of that internalizing that grief and learning from Andrew Weil. That was the first step in my process, was going to the University of Arizona, the integrative medicine program with Andrew Weil, and meeting people like Deepak Chopra and Larry Dossey, and just kind of really interestingly enough, you know, the people that you bump into along the way on your journey and the different directions that you take. And that's kind of how I wound up where I'm at today.
That's pretty impactful. That is quite the journey. If you had to distill down any of the lessons that you learned throughout that journey, would there be one or two things that really stood out?
You know, it's funny. There was a part of that time period where it was when the movie The Secret came out. And now we kind of all take that for granted, that movie. And I remember watching that movie thinking, oh, this is ridiculous. You know, it's like, how could you just think of something and believe in something and it just happened? So I remember that night I said, I'm going to just put this to the test. And I'm going to, you know, in my little infantile mind, I said, I want some money. And I just said, okay, I'm just going to get some money. And this is hilarious. But I said it the next day. I got home from work. I went out to the mailbox. And there was a check in the mail for $8,000 that I had no idea I was receiving. Now, my wife at the time said, well, that check was in the mail anyways, and you would have gotten it anyways. And I said, yeah, but is it not weird that I just said that? I watched this movie. I said, anyways, so what I do now, I do this every day now, whether it's for my patients when I do surgery. I sit in bed in the morning and I manifest. I manifest what it is that I want. I manifest what it is that I want to do in my life. And I honestly think that I believe now, and I don't take it for granted, I actually believe now that we can manifest. And I'm not necessarily saying that I'm great at it, but I really try hard to manifest that aspect of life, is trying to attract what it is. You know, and maybe that's why I met you. I mean, you know, I mean, I try to bring those people into my life that I think will help me, not just on a financial or, job basis, but on a spiritual basis.
Absolutely. And it's interesting. And for me, you know, coming from a traditional Western medicine background, it's so wonderful to hear another Western medicine trained provider saying the word manifest, because it's something that I've really have started to embrace in the last year, just, you know, within my personal life and my business. And, you know, if you want to get geeky and science focused, which is the way that I always, you know, I always go back to my roots, you know, what is it that I want to actually be able to explain? That whole concept of neuroplasticity, talking about how our, you know, our mindset and our feelings and the way that we think can, you know, directly influence, structurally influence the way that our brain is. And so I that just, you know, you just saying that to me just typifies why I'm so grateful that we got connected. Because we're certainly very much on the same page. And what a tremendous gift that you're giving to your female patients, because I think many in Western medicine are really struggling with options right now. You know, whatever life stage people are at, whether they're still at a point of procreating or trying to prevent conception, or they're, you know, kind of in the gray area where I am right now, where I'm not menopausal yet, but I'm done having children. All those stages that women go through, to have, you know, a provider that thinks that way is really, you're really at the forefront of something very different.
Well, what's funny is it's not just, in my career, like, you know, every Thursday I do surgery. So what I do is I might have six cases. I will actually sit in bed and actually go through every case in my head and, try to make that. All the cases come out really well in my head. And actually they all come out really well afterwards. But I've recently, and this is the thing, that the point being is they don't necessarily always come out well. And your life, even if you think good things, so like I've recently gone through a divorce, and it's not because I manifested the divorce, but what I think I did manifest was I manifested things in my life that I wanted, in the sense that my career took on a different path, my life took on a different direction. And I think that my partner, not for better or for worse, but she just couldn't go in that direction with me. And I could have stopped. I could have said, you know, I'm going to just stay back and I'm going to hold back, and or she could have maybe changed and come with me, but it didn't happen that way. And the way that it happened is we ended up, you know, parting, and we have children, so we communicate very well and things are okay. So now I also am manifesting, you know, when I wake up in the mornings, I manifest what I might want in a partner. And so there's, you know, there's other aspects to this in life. And sometimes I think I look at it and then I'm like, you know, my divorce, oh, I got divorced. Oh, what a failure, you know, blah, blah, blah. But the reality is, you know, maybe it's because of my life manifesting in other areas, and me getting healthier actually in other areas of my life, that's part of the reason that happened. It doesn't have to always be things are negative or positive. Things just sometimes happen because they happen and because other things are happening in your life. And so that's what I try to talk to my patients about too. And pelvic pain is a good example of that. It's like, you know, pelvic pain can be organic. You can have things like endometriosis, but pelvic pain can also be a manifestation of relationship problems or money problems because, you know, second chakra issues and things like that. So you have to look at things just with a different scope.
And that's one thing I wanted to explore a little bit further. So when and how you present this to your patients, how do they respond to this idea of being able to kind of manifest or take control of their health or that their belief has an influence on their health?
Well, it's interesting because I'm in Austin now. So Austin's a pretty, I call that my woo-woo side, you know? So I have my doctory side, I got my woo-woo side, and Austin can be a little bit more woo-woo than some areas, but you have to kind of know the patient that you're talking to. And I call it, a friend of mine has this theory, he calls the beef stroganoff principle. You can either talk to people, if you talk to people, you either have to talk to them about beef and noodles or you talk to them about beef stroganoff. If people don't know what beef stroganoff is, you got to talk to them about beef with noodles. If they know what beef stroganoff is, then you can talk to them about beef stroganoff. And it's the same concept. It's like, if I'm talking to somebody about pelvic pain and relationship issues and how that, you know, that energy of that can cause a migraine in your pelvis, then I need to speak to them on a level that they can understand. If they understand that kind of chakra medicine, I can speak in that language. If they don't, then I might say, well, you know how you can have stress and it can cause a migraine? And they say, well, yeah. I'm like, well, you can have a migraine in your pelvis if you've been injured in that area of your, you know, energetically of your body. And they go, oh, you can see the light bulb go off. And so it's just communication based on, I think, almost intuitive as well. You know, you have to, I think healing and healers, whether they're doctors or nurses or, you know, acupuncturists or whatever, you have to have some sort of intuitive aspect to your practice. And I think that's just part of your communication as well.
One of the most common concerns I see in perimenopause and menopause is hair loss, hair breakage, hair shedding. And knowing that over 80 million Americans are impacted by this is both reassuring, but it's wonderful to know that there are products available that can help with these symptoms. Divi is good for those with hair shedding or thinning due to stress in perimenopause or menopause. They can be helpful for addressing dry scalp. And have you wanted to take control of your hair health but aren't sure where to start? This is where a Divi can be hugely impactful. I love their scalp serum. And we know that the scalp serum improves the appearance of breakage, nourishes our hair follicles, and removes product and oil buildup. There are some key ingredients, including tea tree oil, which works to reduce and prevent excess oil buildup on the scalp, amino acids that help to strengthen hair, fight frizz, which is my greatest concern, and reduce breakage, and copper tripeptide 1, which is a small protein composed of the 3 amino acids to facilitate a clean and hydrated scalp, as well as hyaluronic acid, which is nourishing and hydrating to our scalps. As I mentioned, Divi is not just for those experiencing hair loss. I have found it to be hugely helpful for scalp health, and all of Divi's products, including their shampoos and conditioners, come together to create a full daily solution that helps women nourish their hair and get to the root of scalp health. Do you want to take back control of your hair and scalp health and do it with clean, science-backed ingredients? Go to diviofficial.com/Cynthia or enter Cynthia at checkout for 20% off your first order. That's diviofficial.com/Cynthia for 20% off your first order. As I mentioned, my favorite product is the scalp serum. And now that we're in the deep throes of winter weather, it is so wonderfully nourishing and moisturizing. Today's podcast is sponsored by Nutrisense. It combines cutting-edge technology and human expertise so you can see how your body responds to different types of nutrition, stress, exercise, sleep, and where you are in your menstrual cycle in real time. And by pairing a continuous glucose monitor with their app and expert nutritional guidance, Nutrisense can help you reach your health goals. And the best part is it's not just a program where they send you the CGM and you have to figure it out on your own. Each subscription plan includes 1 month of free expert nutritionist support. Your nutritionist will work with you one-on-one, interpreting your data, and providing customized advice to help you reach your health goals. The last time I had my CGM on, my registered dietitian and I troubleshooted over some specific concerns that I had. And whether you're aiming to lose weight, stabilize your energy, or just feel better overall, Nutrisense offers the guidance and support you need. And lasting sustainable change takes time and can be achieved through a longer-term subscription. That's why I encourage my patients and clients to consider 3, 6, or 12-month subscriptions where it's actually less expensive and allows you to not only achieve your goals, but also to ensure that you stick to your healthy lifestyle for the long term. As I've mentioned before, I have found the CGMs I have used through Nutrisense to be incredibly insightful, specifically to carbohydrate tolerance. I would not have known that plantains spiked my blood sugar without this information. It's also been hugely helpful for tailoring to workouts and sleep quality. And so for me, even though I am metabolically healthy, I find the insights to be particularly helpful to tailor my lifestyle changes to my blood sugar. Visit Nutrisense.io/EWP and use the code EWP for $30 off plus 1 month of free nutritionist support. Be sure to let them know you're a listener of the Everyday Wellness podcast when they ask you how you heard about them. This is one of my favorite ways to take care of my health and one of my top recommendations for all of my patients and clients.
It's an excellent point because I think that, you know, someone asked me the other day, what made you a really good nurse practitioner? Because obviously I did that for 16 years. And I said, I had an ability to figure out pretty quickly what someone needed to make a connection. And I think that's a gift. I think there are a lot of very talented healthcare providers that are out there that have that. And then there are many that don't. And I think, you know, meeting your patient or your client where they are is so, so important. And I love that analogy of beef stroganoff or beef and noodles. Cause that, I mean, that's the crux of everything, right?
Yeah. And I mean, if you want to look that up, my friend, Larry Dossey, who's written like 12 books, I can't remember where it was published. I think it's a journal called the Explore Journal. It's called the Beef Stroganoff Principle. And he talks about it, and it's just fascinating to me because his point was, if he was talking about it in the sense of alternative medical healers, like, you know, we're in Mindshare and you have all these, you know, health coaches and alternative healthcare practitioners who are trying to talk to, the Western paradigm, and they butt heads all the time. And it's because they're not speaking the same language. They're not talking in randomized, double-blinded, you know, placebo-controlled trials. They're just talking about the N of one, which I'm all about, you know, one person healing on their own. But if you want to make inroads with the medical paradigm, you have to speak the language, right? And so he came up with the beef stroganoff principle. If you want to talk to them, you've got to speak the language. But I think that goes with patients. I think it goes with anybody you're trying to communicate with, you know. So it's just a good, I kind of try to remember that when I'm speaking to others, you know, even on Facebook pages and stuff. When, you know, you see that on your own Facebook page, I have, you know, a few tens of thousands of followers on Facebook, and sometimes somebody will make a comment on one of my posts that they don't understand why somebody like me would make a comment about spirituality. And I have to, you know, I could get offended, I could ignore them, or I could try to engage. And I always try to engage, because I just, you know, that's just kind of how I am. But I do it in the way of, well, this is why I think what I think. And, you know, if they don't want to believe that, that's fine. I think it's actually good to have, you know, open discussions about things.
It seems like when you work with your patients, in addition to being a physician, you're also very much an educator.
Yeah, and I think part of it is like, so like if I'm doing a hysterectomy, say, one of the things I do with my patients is I always ask them, and it may sound kind of corny to some of them, but I say, you know, I don't want to take your uterus. I would rather have you give it to me. So one of the things I ask them to do is mentally hand me their uterus, like, you know, in some sort of a practice, a meditative practice, or when they close their eyes, like eat the night before the surgery, is to just, you know, hand me their uterus. Cause I feel like if I take it from them, that's going to affect their healing process a little bit differently. And I think the communication wise, that just kind of puts us on a different level, you know, we're not just speaking words, but we're also speaking kind of in that, that other plane. And I think it really opens up the trust factor, because I can almost guarantee you no other physician has asked them to do that. And I'm not saying that I'm any different, but I think it's just that one little thing, like, hey, can you just give me your, it sounds kind of weird, but can you just give me your uterus, or can you give me your appendix? I don't want to take it from you. You know, it just sounds better.
No, that makes total sense. I mean, I think that so much of, you know, that mindset piece is less about what you're losing and more about what you're gaining. And so by giving them the option to, you know, surrender that organ or surrender, you know, through that process, I'm sure that their healing is exponentially better.
Oh, I think so too. And I think there's a lot to recovery. You know, what's funny is the robot that I teach, it's interesting because it's actually more hands off. Like, you know, I'm not touching the patient as much as I used to, which is kind of counterintuitive, so that's why I try to do more before that, to get more in touch with the patient before the surgery. And it's funny because I think recovery is better in those instances. And it's probably because of the time spent before the case rather than the actual surgery itself.
Absolutely. Well, and I can imagine, you know, if people are at a point where they need to have, you know, a hysterectomy, or, you know, they're having significant pelvic pain and you're lysing adhesions or things like that, there's a huge emotional component to that. I think, you know, even as a woman, I know that when my mother had a hysterectomy and had her ovaries removed, which is a whole long story, she really grieved that process. And she selected a physician. She was at a big teaching hospital, selected a female physician, but she still really grieved that loss. Even though she was well beyond menopause, she still grieved the loss of losing those organs. So I think sometimes we, as healthcare providers, forget how much of a emotional as well as a physiologic change that is for someone's body.
Well, as a man, I grieved when I had to get reading glasses. So I can't imagine what it would be like to lose the organ that houses your ability to carry a child. I mean, as a man, I don't even know what that feels like. So if I'm going to kind of have a bit of a crisis over the fact that I feel old because I have to buy reading glasses, I can't imagine what it feels like to lose the ability to, I mean, it puts you into a whole new like class of womanhood mm-hmm. when you have that organ removed, especially if you have your ovaries removed at the same time and you're basically castrated. No man really ever goes through that. So, you know, that is a huge thing. And I remember my mom had a hysterectomy when she was in her 30s. And I remember, I still think this is pretty prevalent too. Whenever she would get mad at me about something, this is in my new book. Actually, I think this is how the book starts. she's yelling at me one day as a teenager, and the whole point of the story is I finally turn around and look at her and I say, "Did you take your pill today?" because it obviously wasn't that I was being a jerk teenager. It was because it was her hormones. Mm-hmm. And because as a society, that's how we treat women. Mm-hmm. If they're being mad or upset or whatever, it's their hormones. It's not just because somebody's made them angry. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't ever say to a guy, "Hey dude, what's your testosterone level? You're acting like such a jerk." You know? But we do it to women all the time, you know? And so, and I mean, even, you know, 30 years ago, 35 years ago, I did it to my mom. Mm-hmm.
Well, and I mean, I think about, and Kelly, I'm sure you can speak to this as well, that, you know, I was that teenager who had wonky periods. And even though I was thin, I probably had undiagnosed PCOS. And what's the first thing I got put on for years and years and years, mm-hmm. was oral contraceptives. Mm-hmm. And so I was actually telling my husband when I got married and I went off the pill for the first time in a very long time, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm not nearly as grumpy and irritable. And so you think about the pros and cons of these synthetic hormones and how they impact our emotions. I'm like, I never have PMS. And yet when I was on the pill, my PMS was horrible. You know, all the things that we do as healthcare providers that are with good intent, which sometimes make our patients feel a whole lot worse.
Right. And the thing that my new endeavor in the last 6 months is online has been to bring forth this integrative hormonal mapping system that I've come up with that is the energetic qualities of hormonal imbalance. So like PCOS say, I call that, I speak in the language of archetypes. So I would call, it's a quiz now that's online. And if you take the quiz, like a PCOS woman would come out as the queen. And the queen, because you guys are estrogen driven, estrogen dominant, and the ultimate female is the queen, right? And mm-hmm. so you take a queen and you give her basically more gasoline for the fire, which is a birth control pill, yeah. and you're going to turn her into an off with their head kind of a queen. And so it doesn't make any absolutely really any sense. And we do it all the time to these women. And then you pull them off their pills years later. And they're like, wow, I don't understand why I feel so much better. Mm-hmm. But it's really fascinating to me because it is a knee jerk. We put them on birth control pills because it turns off their ovaries. Yeah. And yet we were putting them into another estrogen dominant state with not a biological estrogen, but a synthetic estrogen, which is 10 times worse in my opinion.
Yeah.
But we do it all the time. Yeah.
Well, and it's interesting, I want to give Kelly an opportunity to chime in, but what's interesting to me is that each life stage, you know, we're offering women all these synthetic hormones, and we could have a whole episode just talking about this, but, you know, the stage I'm at, so many of my girlfriends, because their periods have gotten heavier, they're done having children. And so the rule of thumb is they get offered hormones, you know, they put them on the pill, they want them on an IUD. And then if all else fails, the next thing they offer them is, let's ablate your uterus, you know, let's burn it. And then if that doesn't work, then they want to do a hysterectomy. And so I've had girlfriends that have experienced the full gamut of all of those things, and me in the background encouraging them just to stay the course and do all these other things that can be profoundly more impactful than, you know, burning the uterus, yanking the uterus, or, you know, prescribing synthetic hormones. But again,
I think hormones are great, and mm-hmm. I do it all the time, but I think you need to do it in the aspect of knowing what the hormone levels are.
Correct.
You know, and then I always use bioidenticals. I don't use synthetics anymore. But yeah, you can't just throw hormones on a person. And then also not just the sexual hormones, but cortisol, melatonin, you know, all the other stuff that's going on, not just the sex hormones.
Exactly.
Dr. Tissone, I looked at your website and I looked at your reviews, and you had 271 reviews with an average of 4.92 out of 5 stars, which is extremely remarkable for...
Man, that one lady threw the whole thing off.
Right? I know, exactly. But, you know, I was thinking about what would be happening in his meetings with his patients that would make them want to rate him this highly. And I think you spoke to a little bit of it earlier, which is meeting them where they are with that beef stroganoff principle. But can you also talk about other types of interventions or things that you do with your patients, homework that you might give them, kind of no matter where, what their condition or what their symptoms are when they come into you? So how do you approach your clients when they meet with you?
So I think two things that I do, and I, again, it's hard to answer questions like these without sounding like I'm tooting my own horn. So I hope I don't come across that way. But one thing is that I would say is if I had to say what my one superpower is I feel like I listen. That's one thing that I do. And two, obviously I don't listen well enough or I might not be divorced. So at least with one person, I didn't listen to, but I have a pretty good average. Then I think second would be being, I'm pretty vulnerable with my patients. Like I'm willing to share with them. I just talk to them the way I would talk to anybody else. I don't elevate myself. I don't, you know, act any different than I would act if I was around, you know, a friend or something. But I'll tell you this, there's a medical device that has been out for 16 years called Esure. It's a E-S-S-U-R-E. It's a sterilization device. It's a polyester coil made with stainless steel and PET fibers and things like that. And it's been put in fallopian tubes for the past 16 years to cause inflammatory process, cause sterilization. There's about 750,000 of them that have been put in the United States. And probably in the last 5 years, there's a lot of women that have been having problems with them. And yet the medical community has been saying, doesn't cause problems, you know, blah, blah, blah. So over the last 4 years, and this kind of just happened by chance, I developed a procedure to remove these coils because Bayer, the company that manufactures it, doesn't really have a way to safely remove them. And so I've removed about 600 sets of these now since 2013. And a lot of those women that are giving me those reviews are coming to me because, and I'm bringing this full circle here, because they've gone to other doctors for years and told them, look, I'm having migraines, I'm having rashes, I have Hashimoto's, I have lupus, I have rheumatoid, I didn't have these before, I got the coils, I got sick. And as soon as I took these coils out, I had one woman that was on 5 rheumatoid medications and all these anti-inflammatories, all these steroids. And then I took these coils out of her and within 2 months, she was off all of her meds and the rheumatoid was gone. And so these women leave me great reviews because I was like literally the only person that listened to them. But it's like, why aren't we listening? Why, you know, I've got 600 women here that I've done this on. Another woman who has had a rash, whole body rash for 3 years, has seen 6 dermatologists, been on all kinds of medications, all kinds of biopsies, took the coils out. I went up to round on her 12 hours after the surgery and the rash was gone.
That's incredible.
Okay, so, wow. So I've been censured by, I was in a group practice of 12 doctors. I had to leave the practice because they were still putting them in and I had to leave. But I've also met a ton of wonderful people and it's been great. But I think that's partially why I've got some of the reviews because I listen. And I think that's the main answer.
And I think what I think is frustrating, you know, on so many levels is that, you know, we as a society have started listening less and speaking more. And, you know, as my husband likes to tell my very loquacious, talkative 10-year-old, God gave you 2 ears for a reason and 1 mouth. And I think, you know, we in the medical community sometimes can be a little arrogant and think that we figured the patient out before, you know, before they've been able to get their story out. And I know when I worked, my background is in ER medicine and cardiology exclusively, and a lot of big egos in those areas. Although I love my Western medicine peeps, just want to make sure I put that plug in there. But more often than not, my physician colleagues would say things like, well, how did you get the patient to tell you that when they would read my note? And I would say, because I listened, I gave them a time to speak. And so often, and I'm sure Sean, you experienced this, Kelly as well, people just need to talk, you know, they need to get out what is bothering them, whether it's physiologically or, you know, psychologically. And I think for you, Sean, I think I wish you were more of the I wish you were more of the rule and not the exception, because I think we're still in this mindset very much of, you know, we put a device in and it can't possibly be the device that's causing a problem, or we give a pill, whatever the pill is, can't possibly be the pill that's creating a problem for someone. So I really applaud you that you are helping and serving so many women that have had so many issues with the Assured device. And I remember when my OBGYN tried to convince me to get it, I was like, nope. No, thank you.
Yeah, no, I, to be honest, I put a bunch of them in because years ago in 2006, when it first came out, you know, there was a pilot study that was done and there were no pregnancies and it was tolerated really well. And the FDA said, okay. And, you know, the FDA has its issues, but you at some point you have to trust something. You have to, sure. As a physician, I can't personally vet every little thing. So I trusted it, and you know, it came, you know, with many obviously medical devices. As it worked out, it's something, you know, it didn't work. And it's funny because we talk about medical devices and everybody's always surprised that there's a problem, but it seems like almost every medical device, when you're putting something into somebody's body, like that. But what's funny is like an IUD, well, that's easy to remove. If the woman comes in and says she has an issue, you can take it right out. The problem with these permanent devices, you know, hips and knees and things like that, you got to do surgery to get them out. And most of these women are having to have a hysterectomy to get these things out.
Wow.
So it's really sad. Now, some of them are 29, you know, they have ablations, they're having all these surgeries done, and that's a whole story in and of itself. But there's a new Netflix video coming out called The Bleeding Edge that talks about medical devices. I think it's coming out in September. That'll be interesting to watch if you want to watch it.
Yeah, no, definitely. That would be really interesting.
Weight gain is one of many symptoms that our hormones are in decline, especially as we navigate perimenopause into menopause. Dr. Anna, who is a great friend of mine, is an OBGYN who's treated thousands of women just like you and I who experience increasing dryness and even pain in the bedroom as they get older. Jolva is the solution Dr. Anna formulated for her own clients, and it has since been loved by over 100,000 women. It's a feminine cream with DHEA that helps the body regenerate moisture from the inside out. 92.8% of Jolva users experienced a significant improvement in the first 4 to 8 weeks. Get 10% off your first purchase of Jolva by using the link dranna.com/Cynthia. That's dranna.com/Cynthia and get 10% off your first purchase. Mighty Maca is a superfood drink mix full of 30 plus natural ingredients, and it was formulated by Dr. Anna Kabeca during her healing journey. Mighty Maca Plus ingredients, which include nourishing ingredients like organic maca powder, turmeric, quercetin, broccoli, parsley, trans resveratrol, pomegranate extract, and more, were carefully selected for immune support to sustain energy, provide mental clarity, and improve recovery. It also tastes delicious. It supports healthy detoxification and alkalinity in the body, balances hormones, fights free radicals, and neutralizes lactic acid, all while increasing your energy and vitality. It helps improve your digestion and reignites your libido. It's a powerful superfood drink mix that needs to be part of your daily routine. And Dr. Anna is offering my listeners 10% off your first purchase by using the link dranna.com/Cynthia. That's 10% off your first that's 10% off your first purchase by using the link dranna.com/Cynthia. It's delicious and nutritious.
So you touched on an intro to your book. Can you tell us a little bit more about what your book is about and who the audience you're trying to reach is?
So the book is about my encounters with these 40,000 patients. Over the last 20 years, my hormone kind of, this mapping system that I've kind of developed. And if you go, the first step is going to be going to my website and taking the quiz. I've distilled these 40,000 visits down into a 35 question quiz that's on my website. And I came up with 12 archetypes. Like I said, one of them is the queen, which is estrogen dominance. And then there's testosterone deficiency, which is the nun, because the good nuns don't want to have sex. And so there's things like that. And then what happens is you'll get a whole description of this problem energetically, what this is, how you're feeling. It may not necessarily match up with labs, because labs are the ultimate, but what the book is about is it's going to have a chapter on each of those 12 archetypes. It's going to talk about the different types of hormonal testing, from blood to urine to saliva. It's going to talk about the actual hormones, just so you have a background from everything, cortisol, thyroid, all that stuff. And then kind of from there, I have a 6-step process for each of the 12 archetypes. I call the Shines Protocol. And the point of the Shines Protocol is I'm trying to show women that they're, out of 6 of those, 5 of those are all about self-care. So there's a spiritual practice for each of those. There's hormones, which is a prescription that you would have to get, which is the only one that you would need medical care for. The I is called infaceuticals, which is things like the energetic aspects of medicine, like massage and aromatherapies and things like that. The N is nutrition. The E is exercise. The other S being proper supplementation. So like if you're the queen and you have high estrogen levels, I have a specific spiritual practice for high estrogen levels, supplementation with things like DIM or diindole methane, which is from cruciferous vegetables, which helps you methylate your, helps you push your estrogens in different pathways. Talk about how to, eat more fiber and other things to clear the estrogens. And so each of those specific archetypes has a plan to help fix those. And that's what the book's about.
Well, I love that it's such an empowering book for women to really be able to take back their health by focusing primarily on, fundamentally on self-care and nourishing their body in different ways. That's really amazing.
Yeah, I think it's going to put me out of business, which is great. Well, what happened is, I have women that email me from around the country because they can't come out to see me personally. And it was just a way for me to kind of talk to them about, the way that I talk to my patients. So if you have this issue, and without necessarily having to draw blood, which was the tricky part, because, I wanted to be able to do that without necessarily having them to, because I can't read their labs, everybody's. Sure. So what I did was really interesting. I had to do some beta testing on the questions, and I'm still in shock at how accurate the test is in a lot of instances. I had a woman who took the test, and she emailed me and she said, "Well, your test is wrong because it said that I was hyperthyroid, which I call the overachiever." And she said, "I'm actually hypothyroid, which I call the underdog." And she said, "I'm taking thyroid meds." I said, "Well, go have your levels checked. Maybe you're taking too much." And sure enough, her thyroid levels were through the roof because she was on too much medication. Yeah. So the test actually picked up just, and it was just based on her answers, like her heart was racing. Mm-hmm. She wasn't sleeping at night. And so her symptoms were, she was picking up on the symptoms of the hyperthyroidism, and it was coming through on the quiz. And I'm not saying that that's going to be the telltale, be all end all be all, but it's just the energetic aspect of how you're feeling, and it can really tell you a lot. And it's not going to be perfect for everybody, but the point being is that hopefully it stimulates you enough to go out and learn some more on your own. Mm-hmm. And realize that 90% of this stuff you can do by yourself. I mean, you can eat right. You can, I'm a huge fan of maca.
Yep,
I think maca is great stuff. It can probably help 60 to 70% of women without needing hormones at all. And it's just finding this stuff,
Now, do you prefer, just out of curiosity, so backtracking just a little bit,
when you're doing testing on the women that are in your office for hormones, are you doing dried urine or are you doing saliva? I mean, what do you feel is most beneficial or most helpful for you?
This is just my opinion. Saliva is good only for cortisol. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's reproducible. If I have women that can spend the money, I would prefer to do the 24-hour dried urine Dutch mm-hmm. testing. Mm-hmm. The test I think every woman should get would be Dutch urine testing. I'm a big fan of pharmacogenetic testing now, just to learn what type of medications that your body responds to. Mm-hmm. And I mean, if I'm doing surgery on a woman, it's really nice to know that she doesn't respond well to oxycodone postoperatively mm-hmm. or whatever. That's just a lifelong thing. I think babies should have that done so they know when they're older what medications to use. And then thirdly would be nutrigenomics testing to know your methylation pathways, your detox, inflammation, stuff like that. I think those three testings would be great. Blood is great to test for hormones. The problem with blood is that it is only going to tell me what your hormones are doing the second the needle's in your arm.
Correct.
But it's extremely accurate. And it's covered by insurance. So I will use blood probably 70% of the time because patients want to use their insurance. Mm-hmm. And I don't have a problem with that. What you have to do, though, with blood is you probably have to do multiple draws over a period of time because the more data points you get, then the more information you're going to get. Whereas the Dutch testing nowadays, not only are you getting 24-hour urine, but you're getting methylation pathways on your estrogens. You're getting oats testing, you're getting cortisol and melatonin. I mean, you're getting a ton of information. And I think what I'm seeing now is that patients are wanting more and more and more information. Mm-hmm. And I think that personally, I was having this discussion with a friend of mine yesterday. I really think that medicine is going in, the people are going to push medicine in that direction in the next decade to where people are going to want they're going to want the information. They're going to go out and do their research and they're going to want to do that. And the doctors aren't going to want to do it, but they're going to have to do it because the patients are going to want it.
Yeah. Well, and tests like the Dutch, which I do use in my business, along with, DNA-based stool technology with GI Map, I think are some of the most profoundly powerful tests that I'm actually using right now. The only takeaway for me is that, there's a steep learning curve. I mean, it's definitely not a test that just anyone can order because the time involved for you as a clinician to actually be able to analyze the information and do it effectively is really important. And I see a lot of people, sometimes I'll get a friend that'll say, oh, well, my so-and-so did this test for me. Can you take a look at it? And I'll look at it. And I always explain to them, I said, the test is only as good as the person interpreting it. If they do a great job, it can be profoundly helpful. And if they can't interpret it properly, it can be, it can be expensive and, a source of frustration. But I'm glad to hear that you're definitely thinking, and not surprisingly, of course.
Well, and the problem is if you order, let's say I order all three of those tests, mm-hmm. for somebody to come in for me, because I currently take insurance, mm-hmm. It's going to take me at least an hour to go through those tests with a patient.
Yeah,
I can't bill an insurance company for an hour of time because they won't pay me. So as it currently stands, I can't do that as a physician. I was telling somebody the other day, for me to keep my lights on, it's going to cost me $30,000 a month to run my office. Mm-hmm. And I can't do that by not seeing six patients an hour. So that's why a lot of physicians that do these things switch over to the cash model, because you have to in order to spend the time. And it's a conundrum because I feel like I am switching over to that model actually July 18th. But only because I really feel like you hit the nail on the head. I'm ordering all these tests and then I can't sit down with people. I spend like a half an hour with somebody and I feel like I'm sending them out the door with all this information and I feel like I've just mushed their brains and they really want to know more, but I got to move on to the next person.
Yeah.
And so I really want to spend more time with people. But then I have the conundrum of, gosh, now I can't, now I feel bad because I'm having to charge cash, it's hard. It's a delicate balance, but I really feel like the information that I'm providing is much more valuable.
Absolutely. And it's interesting as, you know, insurers kind of start balking at some of these as they were deem them experimental testing. I think that, as you said, that, you know, men and women will start demanding more of these being made, these types of tests available, because it just yields such helpful information.
Oh, I just did my own nutrigenomics testing and I was blown away at how horribly my body does with inflammation. Like I don't, you know, I need to take things like turmeric and, you know, I just was like, wow, I can't, my rate of heart disease would, you know, and cancer, if I can get on this stuff now, and eat right and, you know, not use gluten, not use dairy, stuff like that, which I already was doing okay with. But when you see it on paper like that, and when patients say to me, well, how long do I need to be on these supplements? Well, this is genetic. So you need to be on these for the rest of your life. And you're not, you know, I save people money on supplements usually because I can tell them what they need to be on versus, oh, you know, I'm going to go to Whole Foods and the 18-year-old that works there is going to tell me the flavor of the month. And we buy stuff and we don't even know if we need it or not. You know, it's just whatever's new and improved. But so it's really a great way to do things. It's just very specific and very individualized.
Yeah. Well, we definitely want to respect your time. And I do have one question that we like to ask all of our podcast guests, and it goes along with the title of our podcast, Everyday Wellness. If you had to give your patients and or our listeners two things that they could do to improve their wellness every day, what would those things be?
Well, I like to make them sort of easy and sort of fun. So, because otherwise, who's going to do them? one would be every day for hormones, at the end of your shower, to turn the water as cold as you can get it for 30 seconds. It's kind of like jumping in that cold pool for, you know, a minute. If you can do 60 seconds, that'd be great. But if you can only do five, that's fine too. So that'd be one thing. And then I think everybody should eat at least one or two squares of dark chocolate every day.
I love it. Oh, we're so on board.
Yeah, I told you, I try to make it fun.
So can you tell people the best way that they can connect with you and find out more about you and your work?
So my website is Tassone, TASSONEMD.com, TASSONE, TASSONEMD.com. Yeah, the quiz is just the same / quiz. The quiz will get you started. I have a 7-day hormone reboot, which is the second step of the process. So you take the quiz, which is free, and then the hormone reboot is $9.97, and it's a 7-day. It's got tons of guided meditations and information and a ton of freebies. There's a 49-page food guide and all sorts of things on how to get your hormones balanced. And it's just a nice way for everybody to kind of get into the, I have a private Facebook group from that group, and you can ask lots of questions. And it's a nice community of women that supports each other. And so that's where you can find me.
Well, it goes without saying, we were delighted to have you this morning, Sean, and thank you so much for carving a little bit of time. I know that I speak for both of us. We would love to have you back again. We could talk about a myriad of topics, and I hope that you would be receptive to coming on again in the future.
That'd be awesome. Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us. You can find out more about Cynthia and her work at chtwellness.com. And you can find out more about Kelly and her work at everydaytherapist.com. In addition, if you have questions for us or topics you'd like us to address, please email us at everydaywellnesspodcast@gmail.com. Until next time, be well.